Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of committee. I'm going to provide you with our update on the LRT project, tell you where we are on various elements, and the plan to move forward. So you'll recall that RTG submitted a substantial completion notice, which the city reviewed and the independent certifier reviewed as per the project agreement. There's a process that is spelled out in the project agreement. Both the city and the independent certifier advised RTG of our opinion, which was that they had not achieved substantial completion. So that has occurred. And following the receipt of that notice from the independent certifier, we held a workshop with RTG, city staff, and our rail experts. And just a reminder, in terms of rail experts, we have some of the best people in industry that have run rail systems, built rail cars, CBTC systems, and all the other elements that sit with us on every step of the process. The workshop that we had with RTG was to walk them through in detail the opinion letter on the substantial completion from both the city and the independent certifier. We looked at the progress that RTG had done during the review period, the five-day review period, and to RTG's credit, they continued to work and move things forward. And the session was very productive, and there was consensus and agreement on the outstanding work that needed to be completed for RTG to achieve substantial completion. The point of this slide is to indicate to all of you that there is 100% clarity on the work that needs to be done by RTG to achieve substantial completion. So there's no gray zones, there's a comprehensive list, they know what they need to do, and we both parties have agreed to that. So further to that workshop, RTG provided their response to us because they're required to give us a remedy plan. We have looked at that response and it provides their feedback, and we're working very closely with them to ensure that they follow their plan and that they meet the schedules of the work that's remaining. Now, I just need to remind everyone that substantial completion is a very important step in the entire process of this project. It signifies that the project has reached that point where everything is essentially complete, and that's both the construction and the testing. And it applies to all elements of the system, the fixed components, the rail cars, and so forth. And the third bullet is very important. It's embedded in the project agreement. It says there can be no restrictions to that materially impair the city's use of the system. In other words, it cannot be a conditional achievement. And I can tell you that we continue to be unrelenting with RTG, that we're not moving off of what they're required to give us for the $2.1 billion. And I see some councillors nodding. I know that you're in the same space. Many of you have told me that the public is paying $2.1 billion for the system. We expect every single element, and we're not on for anything other than that. So we continue to hold that position, and I know that we've got full support in that regard from both yourself and the public. So we've agreed on the plan with RTG. They've presented it to us, and they need to complete all of the elements, the stations, the operating system, the safety programs, the maintenance readiness, and vehicle readiness is the critical path to completion. You can have the best looking station, landscaping completed, but you need the rail cars to be operating at the level of performance that's prescribed. So you'll recall this slide, you've seen it many, many times. We have been tracking all of these nine critical elements, and I can tell you that items 2 to 9 are in very good shape. A range of some paperwork that needs to be done to some final elements, and that is tracking well, all stemming from that workshop that I referenced early on. Fleet availability is the area that we continue to be concerned about. And there's two lanes with the fleet availability. There's two buckets of work. The fleet needs to be virtually defect free. You'll never get 100% defect free fleet. And we have agreed with RTG, what are the minor things that will permit them to go into service, minor defects associated with the fleet. But we need a very robust fleet that has no major defects. The second bucket or second lane there is demonstrated reliability. So defect-free and highly reliable. And unfortunately, the vehicles are not ready for prime time. They're just not at the state that they need to be there for this system. And we are working with RTG on several elements in terms of how they get them to that state of readiness. If RTG completes all those 9 critical elements, including the fleet, they can then apply for substantial completion. We've been very clear with them, don't waste your time reapplying. Focus all your energy on getting things completed to that high state of reliability. So in terms of the substantial completion process, you'll recall at the last meeting, there was 2 scenarios. Scenario 1, they achieved substantial completion. That did not occur. So they moved to the second lane, which is scenario 2. And they're on the far right end of that process where they restart the review. If they complete things and take our advice and follow it religiously, they will. We probably won't need the full 5 days to review. So we've advised them of that to stay focused and make sure that all of their contractors, including Alstom, because they own that fleet contract, stay focused on getting things completed. So in terms of the steps moving forward, RTG needs to complete all of the items associated with the 9 critical elements, including the vehicles. If they get those things done, they can resubmit their notice of substantial completion. And then on the assumption that the independent certifier determines that they have achieved it, we can move into point number 4. And many of you have asked, are we in trial running? No, we are not in trial running. I know you see a lot of train movements out there. They need to get through this very important substantial completion part before we give them authorization to move into trial running. And the trial running is, as noted on the slide, they're basically mimicking service, and we are testing the system to ensure that it functions as designed end to end, and they're meeting the operating schedules and the operational performance requirements. And it exercises everything on reliability of the main systems and all the subsystems, customer-facing elements, and so forth. And again, the vehicle piece, which is very, very important, it also, going through the 12 consecutive days of trial running, demonstrates vehicle availability and reliability. If they move through successful trial running and the independent safety auditor signs off, RSA is then achieved, so it's turned over to the city. And we need 4 weeks to launch, and many of you have asked why so much time. We need that to get all the unfettered access for our staff to go in there and do other remaining drills and so forth. It's still a construction zone, so you need to wear hard hats and safety boots and so forth in there. We need to go in there and ensure that everything is ready for our customers and that our staff have full access to the system. So with respect to RSA and the launch of the service, we, again, have been unrelenting in saying that do not give us a date just for the sake of giving us a date. I do not want to drag council through that again. I don't want to drag our customers through it again, where we get a date that is not highly reliable and achievable, or where my team, my staff, and those experts that I talked about have a high degree of confidence that they can achieve the date. So right now, we've been clear with them. They need to focus on the vehicle completion and get the defects cleared up and get the reliability of the fleet to a very high degree. They need to bring, they have brought a very good plan on the vehicle completion plan, how they would move forward. And we need to let that play out to see where they get to on vehicles. So with respect to RSA, Mr. Mayor, members of committee, although RTG was required to give us a date by the end of May, they've asked for 2 additional weeks to monitor the vehicle plan and to see if they and Alstom, their supplier, can get the vehicle fleet to the high standard that it needs to be in order for us to be confident with that. Unfortunately, Mr. Mayor, that leads us into RTG has also advised us that given those factors, they will not achieve June 30th date. And we do not have a modified date at this point. We're going to give them their 2 weeks to monitor. I can tell you that we're not just sitting by and waiting for them. In addition to all of the monitoring that we've done, we have brought in more vehicle experts. We are not stepping into the contract with Alstom. We have the authority to do enhanced monitoring. So in addition to what we've been doing, we're now bringing in more expensive experts that have done this stuff. And by the way, the bill goes to RTG because that is a provision in the contract. And we are monitoring every single shift at the plant in terms of where they are and clearing up these defects and getting the fleet where it needs to be. So that has commenced today. We have two experts in today, and another one coming in later this week. They're just waiting for some paperwork at the border crossing. When RTG has a date that they can demonstrate to us is achievable, we can then move into the final preparations to launch, and obviously we'll communicate that to you. And a reminder on point number five, we are being so rigid in ensuring that things are at a very high standard. We're not building a greenfield system. 75% of your customers will be impacted on day one. That's about 240,000 customers will be impacted. And we also have the complex bus route changes that need to be rolled out as part of this. So we need a system that is functioning as close to perfect as possible. Some have asked about the long stop date. I just wanted to reiterate, I know I issued a memo on this, but we have not given up any rights and privileges and remedy clauses. We have some very strong language in the project agreement that talks about the long stop date, and the long stop is, it marks the 12 months after the contract revenue service availability date, the original one. It's a milestone that enables us to initiate all those remedies and penalties and so forth. We have retained all those rights, and as I've mentioned before, we have not paid RTG, and we're continuing to track all incremental costs, and they will be deducted from RTG's outstanding payments. Now, Mr. Mayor, I also have to talk about the fare freeze. You recall we were targeting July 1st. With this, these latest developments, we're going to have to think about if you want to extend the fare freeze. We've put together some costing for you of August and September on that slide. I apologize, but timing is of the essence. Monthly passes go on sale on June 16th, and we would need something done by the council meeting of June 12th. We have a transit commission meeting, but it's after that, so we need to move quickly on this. And I use this slide to remind RTG that while they may feel that things are complicated at our end, our customers are again feeling it. You're feeling it. And I have to sit before you today and give you this this news and jump through hoops to get all these logistics sorted out. So it's not a pleasant day for us to be communicating this to you, but I know RTG is listening right now, and our world is complicated, and again, our customers are going to feel the brunt of this. So the additional fare freeze will be deducted from RTG's payment is the instructions that we're following, so we're adding that to the bill. With respect to our work, we're continuing to do our operational training, our drills, our exercises, and the Ready for Rail campaign continues, and we're also fully detailed mapped out all various scenarios. We'll adjust accordingly now in terms of potential launch dates to map things out. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That concludes my presentation. I'll take questions now.
Great. Thank you. Councillor Hubley, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Based on the information that Mr. Manconi and his team have just presented, it's clear to me that we need to move forward on delaying the fare increase that is set for July 1st of this year. I understand that the monthly passes for July will go on sale starting on June 16th, and that's why Mr. Manconi alluded to that date, and that staff have taken some technical steps to change the system so that the increases do not occur. That means we have to make a decision by next week's council meeting on June 12th, and the Transit Commission does not meet until the 19th. Therefore, I'm going to ask council to suspend the rules of procedure next week to walk this on to the June 12th council meeting so that I can move a motion to allow that the fare stay the same level until the train is running.
Great, good initiative. Thank you.
Would you agree to second that motion, Mr. Mayor?
Happy to.
Thank you. Now, if I may, I'd like to point out that I want to say thank you to Mr. Manconi and Mr. Katalakis because of their efforts to protect taxpayers and our city in this difficult contract. I know staff are doing their best to hold RTG and their partners like Alstom accountable to their commitments, And I know that the mayor, Mr. Mayor and council are placing a lot of pressure on you, Mr. Manconi, to deliver the message to RTG that we are out of patience. It is time for RTG and Alstom and SNC and all the partners of RTG to get their act together and delivered. So one question for you, sir, is can you please confirm that OC Transpo will be able to keep delivering the service that they have been while we await this transition, and that we're ready whenever RTG is ready to do the transition to train?
With respect to launch, Mr. Mayor, Chair Hubley, I can assure you we have a very good plan. We've put a team that's been focused on it for 5 years. I will comment on the bus service. I sent you all a note on the challenges. It is painful out there for the customers. I get all your emails in here. I see the customer complaint logs. The cancellations are at record highs on routes. We are trying to spread the pain a little bit. I know many of you have met with my staff and continue to meet with them. I'm not here giving excuses. It is where we are, and as that memo said, thanks to RTG, the effect of the construction projects and the compounding stress on the buses that are stuck in the core, and particularly, is because of the delay of the train. And I know that you know, Mr. Lausch took offense to that a couple of months ago, and I said, no, it's on you. Those trains were supposed to be up and running, and we would be we wouldn't be deadheading buses through the core and being stuck in all this construction. And to our construction partners over in Infrastructure Services, they're doing a great job trying to stagger some of these things with our traffic operations people. But I can assure you, OC Transpo staff are trying their best to get through. And we're at the peak of construction season. I believe there's 88 closures right now that we're dealing and detouring buses through. And we are doing a look ahead on that. But it's a tough commute for OC Transpo customers, and again, I need to thank them for sticking with us because it's been a tough number of years.
And finally, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to get Mr. Manconi to elaborate on something. Situation him and I have discussed is one of the issues with the trains right now is doors sticking. And I believe it was Washington, D.C. launched a bunch of new trains and the doors actually opened in service, like while they were moving. So you might want to elaborate on how many cars had to be pulled off the track after that and the disruption to the service.
Yes, doors may seem trivial, but they're a very critical safety feature, both from they should never open when in service. There's braking systems that activate that in this particular case didn't work in that situation that Chair Hubley's talking about. On ours, what we're dealing with is what's called a sensitive edge. It's a tolerance about how tight they need to close so that people don't get stuck in the doors, or scarves and mitts and boots and things like that. So again, we're being very diligent in that. And I can tell you that both Alstom and RTG on the safety features, again, back to those defects, they know they're non-negotiable. They're not disputing us on those. But they need to focus and get the work done.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Harder.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to touch on that memo, when I read the memo, I thought, wow, thank you for sending it out and being so honest in it, John, because I think that it laid out where we are. And the same day my staff, who watches transit for us, for my part of the city, had just said to me, I don't know what's going on, but there's something like it's just out of control and I'm not getting responses and things like that. So I really appreciated getting that, but now I'm very, very concerned because what you're saying is if they don't get a handle on fixing this to our satisfaction and to safety satisfaction and to pass the test, what's the backup plan? Because it seems to me we've got staff that we're not supposed to be working here, so whatever that morale might look like, staff that we need to add to, what kind of, you know, what are their, I'm not saying you'd ever hire anybody that wasn't, you know, didn't have the proper accreditation, but they may not be the right fit. What about the equipment itself? Because I know that you said that you're trying to shift it around so that you're sharing the pain, but the pain is pitiful. Like, if you're sharing it now, I mean, I'd like to see what, if you weren't sharing it, looked like. Do you have any comment on any of that?
So I have to thank staff and the unions, because without them, it would be worse. And I can tell you that, a couple of things. RTG is getting a big overtime bill and premium bills because the union, in collaboration with us and staff, have given up holidays and long weekends and things like that to make service. And so that's why things could be worse, but we have very good staff and great morale and great labor relations at DOCE Transpo. I can tell you that all the union leaders, I don't know if they're here today, but they're at the same point you are. They want this train launched because they understand the stress that it's putting on staff. We have Phil Landry and his team, Mr. Kanellakis, the mayor, and Chair Hubley and Chair Blay asked me yesterday to look at a downtown mobility plan, look at what we can do to improve things because we're tight on traffic, and is there anything we can do there? In terms of the equipment, our fleet folks are hanging on to all the buses that we need, so we're okay there. We have the new Nova buses that have come in. There's probably another bill going to RTG because we have to extend the batteries on the hybrid buses. They were under warranty. By now they should have been gone. So I'm just sharing that with you because I have a list a mile long of everything that gets moved, and it's difficult, but we're here to serve you. We're committed. Everybody, I can assure you, the morale at OC Transpo understands that they want to be there for you and for the customers. They don't want to let people down.
So my other question is, are you continuing with parallel work on Stage 2? Because Stage 2 is approved now. There's not a slowdown. We're not waiting for the LRT to start running before that happens. Because for those of us that are waiting for Stage 3, you know, that train may never arrive at the rate.
Stage 2 is moving along. Mr. Morgan manages that contract for me. We're doing clearing, brushing, contractor mobilization, both on the north, south, and the east, west. So that's already started.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Tierney, please.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And to John and your team, I know I contact, I feel every week on the bus situation. You've got more drivers on board, I assume, right now to try to head off what seems to be a growing problem of, I don't know if people are calling in sick or they know that they're coming to the end of their career as an operator and they just don't want to come in anymore. But clearly we have a problem. And while we're dealing with it now and you're doing your best to get people in there, we're getting into the summer period, things will slow down, the buses won't be quite as full, we'll be okay. But I think we really need to have a plan for August, September if this train isn't rolling, because that's a completely different proposition. That means probably hiring many, many more people back in. Are we looking at developing a plan like this?
Yes, we have a plan. We have the right operator count. There is a North America shortage on operators, by the way. We used to graduate 25 people per class. I just did a graduation last Friday. There was two. Now, we are not going to waive our requirements for operators. It's a very tough program to get through. We do have a plan that looks ahead for July, August, and September. There are some active discussions that are about to happen with the unions where we're going to offer premiums for people to give up their vacations. But to be honest with you, some people are tired of the overtime and are saying, look, I got to go see my family this weekend. I can't work every single day. So it's a challenge, but we're balancing it all off. And again, with the cooperation we're getting from the union and staff, we're doing okay. We are not seeing a mass exodus of operators. We have typical challenges of holidays, religious holidays, and summer breaks and things like that that we're challenging. But we're moving through it.
So our next update that we have would be, I assume, in July. When we get to that point, I think you get to a point where you have to pull a pin and say, okay, either we know we're going to be good by the start of the school season, the summer, whatever. I mean, the summer, the buses are lighter, things are different, people are at cottages and on vacations and whatever. But when that school year starts, that's a massive impact. So what point do you feel that we have to actually have Plan B in place? Wouldn't it be July, knowing that August, September is right around the corner and the training time, if we have to get more operators? Or I'm just looking for assurances you'll come back with a plan, because I know how full those buses get when university and college starts back in.
Councillor, I can assure you we've done that look ahead, and the balance of the construction season and things like that, we're doing a look ahead on that also. If we're into September, there's nothing to signal that's where we are right now. We need to get through the 2 weeks of monitoring of the vehicles, and then we get the RSA from a date from RTG, and then we'll be back to you.
And last question's related just to the pain that we felt in the communities about the ramp closure. And I know we've talked about 3 weeks after it. You put it front burner. I really appreciate that, and thank you. But is there any opportunity, because my understanding it was the ministry and the province that said we couldn't intermingle that much traffic and buses, is there any opportunity to review that in advance? If we go several more months, you know, we could be getting closer to like 4 years of a ramp closure, and we're really feeling it. I also hear that we're looking at, in certain areas, closing parts of Innes Road to do some construction work as well. So now you're adding all this additional pressure, and we need to look at that ramp being reopened.
Councillor, there's nothing in the short term, but I can tell you that Phil Landry's on our readiness team, and his stream is all the traffic locations, and he's got all that mapped out. If there is a possibility to do something, we'll look again. But right now, it's that ramp has to stay the way it is right now. We are overlaying all the other construction projects, and if there is work on Innes and things like that, as to if things changes, I'll let you know.
Thanks, John.
Councillor Deans.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And to you, Mr. Manconi, I'd just say that I appreciate and admire your steadfastness, because although this is very frustrating, I agree with you that we cannot accept a substandard system on day one. So it is what it is, but we have to accept that, and I admire that. I just want to understand, this is delay number five. Is it five? Four? Delay number four. They're not going to meet the June 30th deadline. Is there another $1 million penalty associated with that?
The $1 million penalty kicks in when we have a RSA date, so we don't have an RSA date from them yet.
But they were required to give us one by May 31st.
They are required to give us one by May 31st. The project agreement doesn't contemplate if they don't give us one, do they get a $1 million penalty. It's when we get a date, and if they miss that date, they get a $1 million penalty on that.
But so, they missed the date that they had to give us the date. So
yes,
doesn't that trigger the $1 million penalty?
No. It's when you have a RSA date that's been given to you. We've checked with our legal team, our external legal advisors. The other thing, and I'm not defending RTG on this, they've asked for the two-week extension to look at the vehicles and then give us an RSA date, and we've concurred with that. So because to give us a date now for the sake of giving us a date, we'd just be back to where we were before. So the penalty kicks in when we have a firm RSA date, and if they miss it, it's $1 million.
And have we had ongoing discussions with RTG about this very long, growing list of additional costs that the municipality is bearing because of these delays?
They know about it. Doesn't mean they agree with it. But,
so we're going to be in court with them for years settling this?
I don't want to speculate where we'll be. There's steps in the project agreement way before you get to court. But to me, you know, without prejudice, things seem pretty crystal clear to me. They're not ready.
Me too, but...
There's no... So even the delays and the claims they've put against us that you've heard about a year ago, they're not ready to go. And as Mr. Kanalakis said to me over a year ago, we've got the money. We're not paying them. And the instruction from the city manager was crystal clear to the treasurer, deduct all these costs, and yes, we're going to give you an update on where we are. You saw the previous memo.
Okay, so they're going to be in court with us because we're not handing out, we're deducting all of these costs and we're not giving them that money.
It's a combination of deductions and payments that they've been giving to us continuously for road closures and things like that, all those special clauses.
Okay.
So that gets deducted from their payments.
Okay. I want to talk about our customers. I heard what Councillor Hubley said. I thought it was a good idea. It does not, in my mind, go nearly far enough. Our customer base right now is beyond frustrated. I had your staff in my office yesterday. We talked about this. Buses just go by because they're full. They don't show up. People are constantly late for work. We have a shortage of bus drivers, and it goes on and on and on. And you have said yourself, the system has become subpar and unreliable. That's a reality, but we're charging them full freight. And to me, that is just not reasonable. We can't charge full fare. Sure, we're not going to increase the fares, fine, but we're still charging full fare for a subpar system, and we're asking our customers to bear with us. And to tell you the truth, as a member of council, I'm kind of tired. I'm done with defending it. It's indefensible to continue to charge full fare for a subpar system. And we want our customers, we need our customers, we need them to stick with us. I admire the men and women and children in this city who have stuck with us this long, because there is a lot of temptation to go another route at this point. And so for that reason, what I think we need to do is look at a fare reduction until this system opens. And you can add that on to RTG's bill as far as I'm concerned, but if there's a 30% subpar service, then we should reduce the fares 30%. And until the system opens, we should have that reduction in fares. And I don't think any one of us can defend what's happening with our system right now to our customers. And I think as a member of council, I need to be able to go and say, you know what, we appreciate you. We appreciate you sticking with us. We know we've got structural problems with our system right now that are beyond our capacity to fix until we get this train system open. And for that reason, we are going to reduce your fares. And I think council should agree to that. So you can expect me to put that motion to council next week.
You'll come up with a funding source as well if you're going to put
well,
that.
Well, it'll be RTG. We'll pay for RTG. Pay for it. They've caused it. They can pay for it.
No, I don't think that's realistic. I think a freeze that Councillor Hubley has brought forward makes the most sense. Okay, Councillor, see here, Blay, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I want to touch on the traffic issues that Councillor Tierney touched on very quickly, and obviously our prolonged closure of the 417 ramp and the frustration that has caused. Given that Orleans residents have faced this for 4 or 5 years now, why would we authorize the reduction of the on-ramp at Nicholas and the overpass at Innes Road at the same time?
I wish I had the answer to that, but MTO went ahead and did that despite our advice, Mr. Chair.
And have we relayed any concerns to them about those closures and the impact that they're having on residents of Orleans and Gloucester?
Yes, we have. I know the mayor's office has spoken to them, and my staff at my level and at Phil Landry's level have spoken to them.
So this is transportation service for the people. The budget contemplated service expansions following the introduction of LRT. Are those service expansions delayed as a result of today's news?
That's correct. You'll recall last time when we talked about the rollout, the $5.1 million in investments, which we're very eager to launch, which helps everyone, can only be launched after the train is in service.
And remind me, was there a budget pressure to put those service improvements in place as part of the Transit Commission budget?
Yes, it was $5.1 million.
So was that pressure to buy buses, or was it for the operating of this?
That's operations.
So are we saving that operating expense as a result of the delay? And if so, how are we booking it, I guess, to ensure that it's not diverted somewhere else?
I'm going to look to the treasurer. I mean, we're not spending the money, so it would be a saving off the bottom line. But in terms of the booking, I'll ask the treasurer if she has any comments.
It was added to the budget, and if it's not spent, it just falls to the bottom line.
So is there, given that we can't actually put this service in place, is there another way in which OC Transpo can use those funds to provide better service without actually expanding these bus routes in the interim? Like the money is there and on the books.
That speaks to Councillor Turney's plan. We're looking at all those elements and things like that. You're driven by bus count, which we're very good shape, and operators. So the piece that you need to the resource challenge is operators. So, but I can assure you that every single bus that we can get put out, we put out every day.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr.
Great, thank you. Councillor Brockington, please.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Mr. Manconi, for your update. I certainly agree that you're in a very tough position, and I just want to let you know publicly my steadfast support for you. I do think you're the right man for the job, and I do appreciate how you've handled all the bumps throughout this process. The train carriages, you elaborated on the door issue. Are there any other issues with the carriages that are significant enough to let us know about today?
There's five elements, and I'll ask Mr. Morgan to elaborate if we need to. There's the door issues. There's a valve on the braking system that needs to be inspected. It's tied to the pressure vessel, so there's some defective valves. The issue is there's five of those on each train. They need to check all 34 times five, whatever that math is, and then replace them and fix them. There's a customer-facing communication system, which on the surface seems simple, but they're all tied to the subsystem, so they're feeding the next stop and so forth. The fourth one is, I believe, Mr. Morgan will correct me, there's a screen for operators if they're on alternate routes that they have to pick certain lists so that feeds the next customer service stop announcement. And I'm drawing a blank for the fifth. There's a contact component from the pantograph up to the system that needs to be checked if they're defective. We had one incident of that, and they just need to again do a fleet check to make sure that those are addressed. The time-consuming ones are the doors, because there's a retrofit, there's a procedure, and I just share this with you, Councillor, so that everybody has a good sense on, you know, how hard can it be to fix a door. 14 sets of door on a train. They have to find the problem, get an engineer to map out the solution. They then do a prototype test, has to be signed off by a safety auditor, then they retrofit the fleet and then reinspect it all. So it's time consuming. So that and the defective valve on the pressure vessel are the two most time consuming one.
On your list of outstanding issues, you really emphasized that the carriage issue, the train carriage issue. Other than the train carriages, what are the other top issues that's holding up this project?
Just having good, consistent days. We've had some very good days. We've had some challenging days. So, but what I mean by that is launch starts at 4:30 in the morning, where they launch the trains. There's some that have been very, very good. There's some that we've had either a power issue, a train control system issue. Today we had a power issue that knocked down some of the system. Those are all things that get teased out during testing and commissioning, so it's a good thing that we're finding those things out. The issue is, in the perfect world, we'd have all 34 vehicles and we'd be doing everything concurrently. So it's the critical mass that you get from having the entire system being stressed. Right now, because I don't have 34 reliable vehicles, I can't see how those all interact with all the other elements.
I'm just going to assume that since we started testing, there may have been dozens, if not hundreds, of issues which have been identified and fixed. We're sort of at the final end where some of the key outstanding issues. Has there been any issue that's been insurmountable to be fixed? Is there anything that you just have repeatedly tried to fix that you haven't been able to? Or has everything that you've attempted to fix been fixed successfully and we've just got the outstanding issues at this point?
No, you're quite right. There's been thousands of issues, which again is typical of a startup of this magnitude. And the experts have been brought in to address them on RTG's side. There's been some complicated things, and I'll give credit where credit is due. They have stepped up and brought people from around the world to address those issues. We're in the final stages, and you know, the advisors that I've brought in are saying that if we get the reliability system-wide to the degree that it needs to with the 34 vehicles, it's really down to the vehicles.
Two last points. One is, I'm not debating what I've heard here about a fare freeze or a fare reduction, but are there any other options that can be considered for council to alleviate some of the reliability issues that doesn't resolve or involve a financial commitment? One thing could be, and don't laugh at this, but is actually reducing some service in areas to improve overall service. So maybe you have routes that have multiple routes being run per hour. You take maybe one out to really help another route that has consistent problems. Is that being considered?
It's a great idea, Councillor, and we are doing that. The routes like the 94, I believe, are very, very frequent service at peak, and so if there needs to be a cancellation there, we'll cancel that because there's another one in the next 5 minutes versus canceling a route that only runs every 15 or 20 minutes. We're doing all that. The last thing I want to do right now is come to you and say we're going to scale back service across the board. I know you're not suggesting that, but we are thinking about all those things, and I do welcome any idea on how we can manage those things. But we are adjusting very frequent routes. If we need to bleed off a trip, we'll bleed off of one of those if we need to.
And just the last thing, to build on Councillor Tierney's point about the September crush or rush that we have, the influx of volume with post-secondary starting up and people coming back. When does either FEDCO or the Transit Commission get an outline for that service? One, if the trains are running, but also if the trains aren't running. And God forbid, winter of 2019, we cannot have, if the trains aren't running by this coming winter, we can't have the same type of service that we had this past winter. So when would we have that discussion about putting some real resources into our routes to ensure we don't have the same reliability or unreliability issues that we had in this past winter?
Again, we're looking ahead. If there's anything that signals to me that we're going past September, October timeframe, I, like you, I'm not going to go through another winter like last year. And so it's a different discussion that we need to have. Right now, the focus is the service that we have now. We'll get a bit of relief when the schools let out. We are challenged with Red Blacks games, Blues Fest, all the special events and additional detours. But the team has been looking ahead on all those things. And we do have some updates coming to Transit Commission on rollout and things like that in the June meeting, so there'll be lots of time to ask questions on those matters. I'm just looking at Chair Hubley in that regard. So,
great, thank you, Councillor Cavanaugh, please.
Thank you very much. I feel your pain. So does a lot of our customers as well, of course. I don't know what to say, but it's been tough. I appreciate Councillor Hubley's idea to have the motion, and I'd be happy to second it on the fare freezes at council. I think that Councillor Deans has raised some very good points about the cost. We're coming up to September 2nd, which is the anniversary of cuts that were made in anticipation of this LRT system. And they were cuts. This has not been status quo that we were just waiting for this train to open. And as you know, a lot of people suffered from those cuts because they were not on the traditional going downtown routes. They were on routes that went through communities, and it's been a tough winter, very, very tough winter for those people on the number 11 route, and I'm still hearing about it. And I'd like to know, if it comes up to September 2nd, that's the one-year anniversary, and we do not have the LRT in place, can we look at bringing back these routes?
Two things. Yes, that speaks to what Councillor Brockington addressed, the look ahead, and Councillor Turney. it will be a challenge, but again, I don't want to go through another year, and you're absolutely right. It's a year that we did those changes based on RTG telling us they were ready and they weren't. And my second comment is just a suggestion, just let RTG know how frustrated you are, Councillor, because I remember our very first meeting. You've been adamant that those customers are going through that pain. This is on RTG. They need to step up their game and get this thing delivered.
I'd be very happy to, because I hear it constantly. Anybody who lives along Richmond Road, all those routes, we've got high density areas, loads of seniors who are all suffering, and they send me notes daily. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Councillor Leeper, please.
Thanks, Mayor. Just a couple of maybe more detailed questions. I take it there is a vehicle completion plan. My understanding from what you said is that that vehicle completion plan really comprises five main elements. There's the doors issue. You need to check a valve on the braking system. There is a customer-facing communication system. There is a screen, I take it, on the vehicle that demonstrates when the next stop is. What was that? I don't understand the fifth item you mentioned.
So the fifth item was a line contactor. It's related to the power system on the train. So it's a modification and failure that they've discovered as part of running the fleet. They need to go through the fleet and make that change. It's on the roof of the vehicle, so it's a little bit harder to get to, but it's part of the overall program. I would say on that list, the two heavy hitters are the brakes and the doors. Those the number of elements, the number of pieces that they need to get to update and getting those vehicles through the shop to do that work, that's probably the heavy lift. So it's really measuring their progress against those two items out of that list of five.
And did they give you a time frame for how long they expect it to take for their vehicle completion plan?
They've given us a preliminary production rate. We haven't seen them achieve those production rates in the past. So we have a production rate for this week. As John mentioned, we have a team of additional personnel on site to monitor that production. And we're going to do a check-in with them on Monday to see if they've achieved what they set out to achieve this particular week in terms of that production, and then use that to essentially forecast out when they, based on the achieved production rate, when they would actually complete the entire fleet.
But what have they asserted in terms of the timeline? What have they asserted in terms of the timeline? How long have they told you that it will take to do?
Well, for example, they've suggested that they could get through four vehicles a day on the brake issue.
And how many vehicles are experiencing the brake issue?
Well, we need to do a complete fleet check.
The entire, okay.
We need to test the entire fleet. They have a test procedure in place. Some of those units will need to be replaced. They're saying they can get through four a day. Their plan starts today with the four a day. Okay. So we're going to check in on Monday and see where they are against that four a day.
Okay. The power issues that John was describing, why does the system lose power? Is it a defect with the TPSS? Why does the system lose power from time to time?
So on an overhead catenary system or a third rail system, it's not uncommon for the power to trip out. If you have a vehicle that traverses, it's a section insulator, sometimes you get skipping in the interface between the vehicle and the overhead catenary. That can cause it to momentarily trip it out. Right now, we've got one substation that we've seen trip out two or three times in the last week. And so that's obviously not just a trivial thing. We need to check that and check what the root cause for that is and see why that's happening.
What does trip out mean?
It means the power turns off. You can turn it back on remotely. But if that's happening on a repeat, it will happen occasionally. And typically you can just turn the power back on. It's not an issue. You continue in service. But once you start seeing it repeating and happening multiple times over the period of a week, you really need to spend the time to go into the substation, do a root cause analysis, and understand why it's happening. It can happen from time to time, but if you see it happening multiple times in a week, something's going on, some repair needs to be completed.
Are those complicated repairs?
I would say of all the systems as part of an LRT, an electric LRT, traction power, electric systems are typically the most mature and the most stable of the systems, and so typically the suppliers are able to resolve those issues quickly and get to the bottom of it.
Thank you. Okay, so thank you for all of that. With respect to looking forward to September, if we're going to, if our LRT is not running by then, and we need to have a plan B, does that involve purchasing more buses in addition to making sure that we have enough operators?
So the bus count is fine because we're hanging on to the old buses. Okay. We're not releasing the old fleet. Hence my comment earlier on about the hybrids. They were scheduled to go, but we're going to extend the warranty on the batteries and so forth. Operators, the operator count generally in September were in pretty good shape because vacation period's over and so forth, but that's some of the discussions that we're having with the unions as to how we lock those people down, even if we have to pay them some premiums to be available. Retirees are also an option that we can ask them to defer the retirements and so forth, so we are working on all plans.
Okay. And then finally, a really small item, those fare machines that are in front of the LRT stations, they aren't fully functional at this point. Is there any opportunity to get those open before the entire system opens?
All the machines, the vending machines and the fare gates are fully functional and have been tested end-to-end. They're ready to go. We have not, on the ones that face out to the public streets, we haven't turned them on. We've turned them off because we want to do a comprehensive launch with them. So it is part of Plan B that if we want to start leveraging that that technology, we will.
People are trying to use them right now. It's obviously very convenient, and those stations are conveniently located. So if there is an opportunity to get those open sooner, I'm sure the traveling public would appreciate it. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Aglai, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and John. Thank you for the presentation. A couple of quick questions. Councillor Tierney had mentioned, of course, that summer is coming, and we all hope that's true. Though lately, that's a little unclear with the temperatures. But you made the comment that should give us a bit of a break in terms of. Can you comment on that from an operational perspective?
What it does is it frees up resources on the school bus routes. So when schools let up, then we have some relief there, and we can redeploy those assets.
Okay, and I assume our ridership goes down a little bit as well with people on vacation and what have you.
Correct.
Okay, can you tell us today, and if not today, certainly for council, what the cost of a 30% reduction would be?
Yes.
And the last question is for legal. It's a question for you, Mr. O'Connor. In light of the possibility of a motion for a 30% reduction coming forward and the potential funding source being RTG, could we maybe have an opinion from legal as to the likelihood of collecting that additional 30% from RTG prior to the motion or at the time of the motion for next council?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we'll do so, and we'll work with external legal counsel on that.
Okay. Thank you. Those are all my questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Great, thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak or ask questions? Councillor Deans?
Could you also provide to us a running total to date of all of the costs that we are accruing because of the delay?
Yes, we'll bundle everything that we have. It may not be total, but it's a running tab.
Thank you.
Est-ce qu'il y a des autres questions? Just on this issue, obviously, like many people here and throughout the city, I am fed up and frustrated with the delays. We have been working very hard. Our staff have been working very hard to ensure that we have a system that was going to be ready a year ago. And we recognize on these big builds, there are delays. You know, you look at the Kitchener-Waterloo, they were delayed 2 years, City of Toronto, several years, Boston, 10 years. That's not looking for an excuse, but it tells that building a system of this complexity in a built-up area does have its challenges. But earlier this morning, I called the president and CEO of Alstom and let him know in no uncertain terms that we were fed up with his company's performance, and I'll send the same message to RTG when I speak with their president. I also invited the president of Alstom to come to Ottawa within the next 10 days to 2 weeks so that we could have a high-level meeting with the president of RTG, the president of Alstom, myself, and our senior city staff. And he's accepted that invitation. And I told him it's not going to be a pleasant meeting because we are fed up with the excuses and the system not working to our satisfaction. And obviously, we're not going to accept a substandard product on day one. Can you imagine that we accept the system with these few flaws and the first train out the gates, the doors don't shut properly and the whole system is backlogged? We're not going to put ourselves, and more importantly, we're not going to put our customers and the residents of Ottawa in this difficult situation. So certainly for me, the work that has to be done, we are putting enormous pressure on the consortium. They are not being paid, which is the biggest club we have, to deal with this consortium that has not lived up to our expectations. And I certainly appreciate the desire to give people a financial break. I think a freeze is something that is affordable and doable and would be justifiable to charge that back to RTG, but I'm not going to go and support a cut in the cost because our costs remain consistent, and then the price then just goes up even higher when we have to make up for that lost revenue. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So while it might be politically popular to pander to allow people to go and hope that their bus pass is going to cost them, you know, $30 or $40 less, that is the money we need to continue to expand the service. And we heard from many members of council how they want to go and expand service. Well, you can't expand service when you're cutting the fare box. Doesn't make a lot of sense. So looking forward to that meeting because I've told the president at Alstom the frustration that we feel in this community, and also it's a reputational hit on his company. You know, he wants to do more business in North America, and at this stage we can't give him a very good reference if another city comes looking for a comment at Alstom. And I recognize that RTG is the lead consortium, but the biggest issue we have, and we've had for the last three briefings, are the vehicles. It's not the stations, it's not the all of the rails and the overhanging wires and so on. Alors, certainement, pour moi, c'est je suis déçu avec la performance de Alstom. Et je parlais avec le président qui habite au France pour inviter le président de visiter la ville d'Ottawa pour une réunion avec moi. Et le président de RGC et aussi le personnel comme M. Manconi et M. Kanalakis pour discuter non concern et non but, parce que c'est vraiment, il y a beaucoup de frustration avec cette compagnie et ce n'est pas juste pour les passagers qui, comment est-ce qu'on dit, rely on OC Transport chaque jour pour un service. Et le service et le niveau de service n'est pas acceptable à ce moment. Alors, ce n'est pas une critique de M. Manconi ou son équipe. Really, it's a frustration that I think we all have, and you can multiply that probably 10 times with John Manconi because he's having to deal and live with this frustration each and every day. So we appreciate the position you're in and the fact that you continue to push your colleagues at RTG forward. And I think my hope is that with the president of Alstom coming here, he will see firsthand how frustrating this process has been. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. Merci pour votre présentation. The next and last item on the agenda